Let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Beginning in verse 19, let's hear the word of God. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing, Lord. I pray for your help as we open the word this morning. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scripture, that you will open our hearts and open our minds to receive it. I thank you for it, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, every now and then, sometimes more nows than thens, we get opportunities to give the gospel to people that we come in contact with. And sometimes when that happens, the reaction is not always what we'd hoped for. And we may even experience a little discouragement when God's word is not received like we hope that it would be. You know, we're coming from a position where we know that this is good news. And we know that the one who hears this gospel and receives this gospel will have their lives forever changed. We can testify to that reality in our own lives. But even as Jesus taught, and he gave the parable of the sower, you know, not all of the seed falls on fertile soil. And if we look at the scriptures, we can see that Jesus did not convert everyone that he spoke to. A lot of people heard Jesus preach and heard Jesus teach that walked away, forever doomed. As Jesus was wrapping up this allegorical message about the shepherd and the sheep, there is a rustling in the crowd. Not everyone is receiving the message. And he's declared himself to be the good shepherd, and that he would, in fact, lay down his life for the sheep. And beyond that, he would take his life up again to many of the people who are listening to him preach and teach this way. That's bizarre language. They're not understanding what he's saying, and it doesn't make sense to them. This it doesn't sound right. And so many of the people who are listening there, they say he has a demon. He's a madman. He's not right in the head. And they chide the others who are standing about, and they're saying, why do you listen to him? Why do you give him the time of day? He's not right. But those who were listening said that opinion of him in itself was crazy. They said to them, could a devil actually heal a man? The answer in their minds that they would know would be, that's impossible. A demon's not going to heal a man. And so we see that even in this instance, God's word does not always unify men. Many times it divides people. Now, as we continue on here, between verses 21 and verses 22 and verse 22, some time elapses. About 2 months, actually. It was winter time. And the Jews were celebrating an 8-day festival. It's called here the Feast of Dedication, sometimes called the Festival of Lights. In our modern times, we think of it as Hanukkah. This is what was being celebrated. And in the winter season, the winter time in Israel, it's the rainy season. And Jesus, we're told, is in the temple, and he's walking on in Solomon's porch, because Solomon's porch was covered. So while it's out there raining, he can still walk, he can still minister, teach, preach, whatever he wants to do, and not have to worry about getting soaked while he's doing it. And while he's in there, remember, a little time has lapsed, a couple of months has lapsed since this previous discourse. Some of the Pharisees see him walking on this porch. And remember, there's no love for Jesus in the Pharisee heart. And they are as much determined today to get rid of him as they were 2 months ago. And they see him, and they took advantage of the time to go and to confront him. And ask him silly questions. That happens sometimes, you know. People ask questions that they don't really want answers for. They ask you questions because, one, they either want to challenge you, or they just want you to agree with them. You know, they don't want honest answers. And they say to Jesus in this time, they say, how long are you going to keep us guessing? You know, you've been out there doing all this preaching, teaching stuff. You know, you got people thinking you're the Messiah. How long are you going to keep us guessing? Why, if you are the Christ, why don't you just tell us plainly that that's who you are? Now, on the surface, that doesn't seem like an unreasonable request. You know, if this man is teaching this way, why couldn't he just come right out and answer the question? Why couldn't he just tell us? But Jesus was not dumb. Jesus was the wisest man to ever walk this earth. And, you know, you think about the things that we've come through in this gospel so far, and he did plainly tell the Samaritan woman that he was the Christ. He told her that. He told her that only after he had given her some teaching on about some spiritual truth about religion and stuff. But, you know, Jesus understood that if he flat out plainly tells these Pharisees he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he will be misunderstood. They have a different concept of Messiah than what Jesus is teaching them. Then they're not understanding. Their concept of the Messiah is strictly a political one. They're looking for a political deliverer, one who will restore Israel to its previous glory that it had under David. They're looking for one who put off the Roman oppression. All, again, from a political perspective. And while they were looking for this political leader, they didn't want it to be Jesus. Jesus was not the kind of leader they were looking for. It's not the first time Israel messed up. You remember Israel, when they decided they wanted a king. They had it in their mind what kind of king they wanted. They weren't looking for David. They were looking for a guy who looked good on a horse. They were looking for a guy who was head and shoulders above everybody else, who had perfect hair. Maybe, I don't know. They didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah at any rate. But he says to them, he said, you know, they said, why don't you tell us plainly? And Jesus says, I told you. I did tell you, but you didn't believe. Back in the fifth chapter of this gospel, from the 17th to the 43rd verse, Jesus gives this discourse on his relationship between himself and the Father. He is presenting himself as the Son of God. And they're not getting it. In the eighth chapter of this gospel, he says, I'm the light of the world, and he that follows me will not walk in darkness. In the 24th verse of that same chapter, of the eighth chapter, he says, if you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And in the 58th verse of chapter 8, it doesn't get much clearer to the Jewish mind. When Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. That message should satisfy their inquiries. But of course it doesn't. In this chapter that we're looking at, in the 10th chapter, from 7 to 18, he just goes through this discourse by way of the allegory, you know, being the good shepherd of the sheep, and they're just not getting it. They can't grasp the spiritual nature of Christ's mission. And they couldn't believe. He could have spelled it out for them in black and white, put it on paper, put it in front of their face. They couldn't believe. Not only had Jesus told them who he was, he proved it. The works that he did declared his glory. The things that he was doing to minister to people was a declaration of who he was. And it really didn't matter how plainly he told them. And it really wouldn't have mattered how many works he would have done. They wouldn't believe. They couldn't believe because they were not his sheep. And what's more disheartening for them? They never would be. They couldn't believe because they were not his sheep. And then Jesus goes ahead and reinforces the truth that he just preached 2 months before. You do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep do not hear the voice of a stranger. My sheep do not hear the voice of the thief. My sheep do not hear the voice of the hireling. But they hear the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. It's an authoritative voice. They understand when the shepherd speaks that they will obey. Because there's authority there. When the shepherd goes to the fold and says to the sheep, "Okay, let's go." He leads them out, they follow him. He speaks to them with a voice of authority. He speaks to them with a voice of protection. As the good shepherd, he is about the business of keeping the wolf away. And he speaks in such a way that makes the predator tremble and reconsider before the attack is made. And he speaks with a voice that is calming. The sheep may come out. The predator may have been around. The sheep are rattled. And yet the shepherd speaks in such a way that the sheep calm right down. They're at peace. Because the shepherd cares for the sheep. Is watching over the sheep. And they know it. They hear his voice. What's more, he knows the sheep. He knows that the voice that he uses is not one that's spent in vain. That the sheep to whom he speaks are going to hear him because he knows who they are. He knows the sheep by name. He knows the sheep by their nature. And they follow me. The shepherd is able to administer a certain amount of grace that gives the sheep confidence to go wherever the shepherd leads and to do whatever he requires. There is a great communion between the shepherd and the sheep so that they never doubt him. They never doubt. Because he's the shepherd who has their best interest at heart. So they follow him. And he rewards them. There is a gracious gift that's associated with being in the good shepherd's fold. The gift of eternal life. The good shepherd imparts to his sheep life. Life that's full of love. Life that's full of joy. And life that's full of peace. And it's a life without end. You see, these things, these attributes, these gifts are given to the sheep while they walk this earth. But they only get better as you proceed from this earth. Love that you know in this earth is perfected in eternity. joy that you may experience while walking this planet will be felt in ways you'll never know when we leave this earth. And peace we can't imagine. A completely peaceful life. Here, there's always something to stress us. There's always something that gets under our skin, works us up just a little bit. Eternity at peace. It's kind of mind-boggling. These are the gifts that the Good Shepherd imparts to his sheep. They'll never perish. And then he says something you really need to take to heart. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. This, my friends, is an assurance of great comfort for the sheep. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. As children of God, as his sheep, if we continue to use the metaphor. We are put in Christ's hands by the Father. We are given to Jesus by the Father. That's an act of love to the sheep. But that's an act of love to Jesus. The Father loved Jesus and gave him the sheep, placed them into his hand, into his care. And Jesus is delighted in that. Jesus is pleased with the sheep that the Father has committed to his hand. And there is absolutely no possibility that he will lose even one little lamb. Know this. Take this to heart. Those who Christ has called, those who God has predestined to be his sheep, will not be lost. And Jesus takes it just a little bit further. He says, I will give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The sheep have such a sense of protection. Kept by Christ, kept by the Father, and nobody gonna get you. Well, who's no one? No one is able to take away from God what is his. So that means not some false prophet can't take Christ's sheep away from him. Not some moment of despair can take you away from Christ. You may have a period of backsliding. David did. But God still promises David kingdom. He didn't lose David. And he won't lose you. If you are his, you are his forever. And you will never be lost. There's some popular false theology that's been out for as long as I can remember. That tells you you can lose your salvation. And I know people, I was one, who went forward more than one time. Because you know what, I sinned, I can't be saved anymore. And so we think we have to make these regular treks to an altar, which is not even sound doctrinally. That was a Finney establishment. We say, I'm sinned, I don't feel saved anymore. Well, you know what? It ain't about how you feel. If God says you're his, you can't be lost. Now, if you're his, you're not going to live your life like you're lost. You're not going to say, oh, yeah, I made a commitment to Christ, and so now I can just live however I want because he's got me in his hand and he's never going to let me go and whatever. That's not what Jesus is teaching at all. Because if he saves us, there is a change in us, and we want to please him. We want to keep his commandments. We want to do as he says. When we stumble, we're quick to confess that sin, ask forgiveness, and move on. We understand that, I'm not going to go running down too many trails, but we understand that, you know what, at the Baptist church, they told you, you know what, you went to the movie theater and Christ came back, you know, you were done. Because you know what, he saw you walking out of a theater. And, you know, Christian people, they don't go to theaters. Well, nobody told Christ. Because he said, if you're mine, you're mine. I take you anyway. And when you go to judgment, you stand before him in judgment, covered by Christ. It's a beautiful thing. This business of his grace. It's a comforting thing, this business of knowing that his hand encompasses you and leads you where he wills. Understand, if you're ever tempted to believe otherwise, that's Satan's own lie. Ignore it. The good shepherd loves his sheep. Christ loves his church. He's appointed you from before the beginning of time. And he will preserve you forever. That's good news. Let's pray.